Chapter 3. A Young Man Searching for a Wife. The village of Longbourn was located about a mile from Meryton, where the Bennet daughters had an aunt. Being such a short distance, they often walked to call upon Mrs. Phillips, their aunt. Recently, the two youngest members of the Bennet family were going to Meryton very often. The arrival in Meryton of military soldiers attracted Kitty and Lydia. Their uncle, Mr. Phillips, knew all the officers. Most of them were quite often visiting at his house. Soon, Kitty and Lydia got to know the officers, too. In their eyes, Mr. Bingley's large fortune and wealth meant nothing, since he did not wear the red coat of a military man. One morning, the day after another dance in Meryton, the two youngest sisters were telling their mother and sisters the wonderful experiences of the night before. "We danced every dance," said Lydia joyfully. "We spoke to every officer in the room," added Kitty. Mr. Bennet appeared at the library door without being seen. He was holding a letter while he entered into the room. He said, coolly,
"You two must be two of the silliest girls in the country."
"Oh, Mr. Bennet," replied Mrs. Bennet, "I remember very well when I liked men in red coats myself."
"Please, I beg you to leave out the details,"
said Mr. Bennet.
"I do not wish to hear your clever speech on the charms of the military. I want to tell you about this letter. We are soon to receive a visitor."
"It is Mr. Bingley?" asked Mrs. Bennet, greatly satisfied. "Why, Jane, you never said anything about this."
"Heavens,"
cried Mr. Bennet,
"do you think there is only one man in this world? It is not Mr. Bingley."
"Is he an officer, Papa?" asked Lydia eagerly. "Is he young?" queried Kitty. "Do we know him, Papa?" asked Elizabeth.
"He is a gentleman whom I have never seen before in my whole life. He wants to stay here with us for 2 weeks."
"For 2 weeks?" asked Mrs. Bennet. "A total stranger! How strange! But is he rich, my dear?"
"Probably not, because he works for the church."
"Oh," said Lydia, sadly disappointed. "He works for the church?"
"Ah, but he will be given property after his parents die,"
said Mr. Bennet.
"He is a young man of expected wealth."
Mrs. Bennet's face brightened. "And is he single?"
"Yes, my dear, he is,"
Mr. Bennet replied.
"But I don't think he'll be able to stay single for long after he enters this house with all of you."
"A young churchman who will soon own a lot of property," thought Mrs. Bennet. Well, I shall be very glad to see him."
"I'm glad,"
said her husband jokingly.
"You are so ready to welcome Mr. Collins to our home."
"What?" cried his wife. She was in shock. "Oh, so it's Mr. Collins, your cousin, Papa. Won't he receive this property after your death?" asked Elizabeth.
"Yes, you're right. It is that Mr. Collins. You should be very kind to him,"
continued Mr. Bennet smoothly.
"When I'm dead, he will decide if you must leave this house."
"Please do not talk of that man," said Mrs. Bennet. "It is not right or correct that your property be taken away from your own children and given to another relative." "Well, there is nothing we can do about it, Mama," said Jane. She and Elizabeth had often tried to explain to their mother that females were not able to own property. It was the law.
"Perhaps, if you listen to his letter, you may feel a little softer towards him. He says that he feels quite badly about his position. He does not wish to hurt the security of your daughters. He hopes to make up for it in any possible way."
"But how can he make up for it?" asked Jane. "Yes, how indeed?" said Mrs. Bennet. "And you've invited him for 2 weeks?"
"No, he invited himself, my dear."
"La, he sounds like an awfully boring person," said Lydia. Mr. Bennet regarded her coldly.
"I guess you are disappointed. Maybe you would be happier if he wore a military coat. We are expecting this peaceful gentleman at 4 o'clock. Until then, please do not discuss what romantic or financial opportunity he has."
Mrs. Bennet was the person in the house when Mr. Collins arrived, exactly at 4 o'clock. He was a tall, heavy young man, about 25 years old. His manners were very formal, and he seemed very serious. "You are on time, Mr. Collins," she said coldly. "Will you have a seat, sir?"
"Thank you, ma'am."
And Mr. Collins sat. "I hope," said Mrs. Bennet, "that your journey was comfortable."
"To tell you the truth, I hardly noticed the journey because my mind was too busy thinking about my arrival here. To speak directly, ma'am, I greatly hope to meet your 5 daughters. I have heard much of their beauty."
"They are known to be the most handsome girls in the country. It is not surprising, after all. I have had my share of beauty."
"You still do, if I may say so,"
replied Mr. Collins, as he was a gentleman.
"I have no doubt that soon all your daughters will be looking for a husband to marry."
"I strongly hope they find a husband, or no one will be here to care for them. Matters such as property and wealth must be considered." Mr. Collins moved uneasily on his chair.
"You are speaking about the fact that I will receive this property."
"I do indeed," said Mrs. Bennet. She gave a heavy sigh. "It's not that I find fault with you."
"I care very much, ma'am, about the problems my position gives to my dear cousins. I could say much about this, but I do not wish to be too rude."
"Please speak honestly with me, sir," said Mrs. Bennet hastily.
"You are very kind, ma'am. I will be honest with you. I must first tell you that I am very fortunate because a very important person, Lady Catherine de Bourgh, has taken me under her care. Her goodness has supported me throughout my life. Lady Catherine has advised me to marry."
Mrs. Bennet smiled and nodded her head wisely. "How very, very wise," she said.
"I am happy, ma'am, to see that you are so understanding. Now I can tell you that I have come here to find a wife."
"I am sure, sir, that marriage would add to your happiness."
"In truth, ma'am,"
said Mr. Collins, very serious,
"I mean to choose one of your daughters. It is my plan. Then one of your daughters will be able to keep her family property and father's house."
Mrs. Bennet stood up and stretched out both her hands to welcome him. "My dear Mr. Collins," she said, "I am most happy to welcome you to Longbourn.